The Disney Brit Podcast is sponsored by Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. At Attraction Tickets Direct, they recognise that people nowadays want to be free from package holiday restrictions and to avoid paying prices inflated by travel agent commission. Because they don't sell through travel agents, they are able to offer attraction tickets at unbeatable prices and offer expert advice. Furthermore, the service they provide is second to none since their lines are open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Customers receive their tickets within 7 days and there are no hidden extras such as credit card fees or postage surcharges. You can call them on 0800 975 0002 or visit www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. Complete Orlando are here to help simplify your Orlando holiday. They specialise solely in arranging holidays to Orlando and can therefore provide you with an expert advice and knowledge on this magical destination. They have expert staff available 7 days a week and can personalise your whole itinerary using their range of hotels, private villas and apartments to suit all budgets, as well as car rental, scheduled flights, theme park tickets and travel insurance. Their whole range can be totally tailor-made to offer complete flexibility and fit your individual requirements. Call them on 0800 294 8844 or visit www.completeorlando.co.uk. Make sure to check out Attraction Tickets Direct current offers. With every child Disney ticket purchased, get a free exclusive Disney autograph book. Purchase any Orlando Flexi ticket or Discovery Cove ticket with your Attraction Tickets Direct tickets and they'll give you a free Boggy Creek airboat ride. A 14-day ticket, the Disney Ultimate ticket, is available for the price of a 7-day ticket. There's no strings attached. And of course, over at Complete Orlando, book your Orlando holiday this summer and you'll enjoy free Disney dining plus 14 fantastic days in the Disney parks for the price of 7. Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Disney Brit Podcast for Wednesday, the 13th of May 2009. We've got some great stuff for you as always this month. We're going to start off, as always, Joss is going to join me. We're going to bring you the news and rumours for Walt Disney World and Disneyland Paris. We're then going to bring you the trivia quiz answers for this month. We're going to bring you the second half of the Buffalo Bill interview with Trent Vance, that fantastic interview we had in the first half. We're going to bring back the second half for you. We're then going to have Juz join us for the credit crunch tips. We're going to recap the contest that we set last episode, and we're finally going to bring you a Mouse Meets update. So that is the show. So without much further ado, let's get on.
Good morning, sire.
Good morning, Zazu.
Checking in with the morning report.
Fire away.
To the news for episode 14 of the podcast, and we are here again. Juz joins me.
Hello, Disney pod people. Hello, Adam Person.
Unfortunately, we're back in our own homes now. We're not in Disneyland Paris, so we're just going to have to bring you the news normally this month.
Speak for yourself.
Well, where are you?
Still at Newport, waiting for the train to pick me up.
Yeah, you see, you said you went very good direction. That's obviously very true. So Juz joins us from the train station at Charles de Gaulle Airport.
It's all in French. I don't understand.
Right, anyway, come on. Let's stop being silly. Let's do some news. People don't want to know.
Sorry.
So let's start off with Walt Disney World then. We're going to start off in Magic Kingdom, as we always do. And we brought to you some news about this Pirate League that seems to be appearing over in Adventureland. And we've had a bit more news about that. And it seems that it's going to be starting in late June. And it says here, the Pearl drops anchor in Adventureland for the Pirates League, recruiting and training park guests of all ages in the scurrilous ways of Buccaneer. Each guest checking in at the Plunderfield Recruitment Office gets an official pirate name. Next step is the muster station, where, after application of beard and eye patches, scarves and scars, earrings and gold teeth, the new recruits leave their old identities behind. Past the hidden portal and into the treasure cache, the new shipmates speak the pirate oath and have their official pirate portrait taken before being turned loose on an unsuspecting adventureland. Boys, girls and grown-ups ready for the pirate life start the process by calling 407-WDW-CREW at the beginning May the 11th, or by obviously going and doing it that way actually at the park. It's probably very likely going to get anything, but packages start at $49.95 plus tax and obviously go up in price. What do you think of this then, because we obviously talked a little bit about it previously, and you know, we now know a little bit more information.
It just sounds to me like the witness protection program, to be honest with you. The fact that leave your past behind you, I think it's a great idea. I mean, I think we've had this discussion previously. Anything which is pirates is good. And I think it's catering for the boys. And we've had this conversation as well, the fact that there's been a lot going on catering to the girls' side of it. Although this is unisex anyway, I think it's great. I think it's actually a brilliant idea. I think it's an idea they can probably keep expanding on. And I think, you know, the sky's the limit with this. Pirates are going to be there forever, whether it's Pirates Caribbean or just standard pirates. It's not going to age, is it?
No, and I like the fact that it says boys, girls and grown-ups, which is brilliant.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we've had several things that have been for younger generation, haven't we? We've discussed that before. To me, this looks like you can actually go down. It's not overly priced, I don't think. You know, we're starting to get a bit better dollar-pound rate at the moment, not because it has been. But this is a family, you know, or whether, you know, half of you split and do something else and, you know, you go with your son or your daughter. This is a family thing.
Yeah, let's say it starts at $49.95, so that's a slightly better price than something like Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique is at the moment. So, you know, I think it sounds like it's going to be a great addition to Magic Kingdom. Another, hopefully, great addition to the Magic Kingdom is, of course, Stitch's Supersonic Celebration. It has now officially begun performing 6 times daily over at the new Tomorrowland stage. The show times at the moment are 10 past 11, 20 past 12, 2:15, 3:30 and 4:45. Now, there's another press release that's been released with the official opening of the show. It reads the following. He's been called the guru of gross out and the maker of mischief. Now Stitch stars in his very own live show, Stitch's Supersonic Celebration, an out of this world spectacle that combines comedic quips and musical madness for Walt Disney World guests. The all-new show at Magic Kingdom stars the cosmic cut-up from Walt Disney Pictures' Lilo and Stitch as he invades a zany interactive experience at the Rocket Tower Plaza stage in Tomorrowland. Guests join in a Galaxy Day celebration when the outdoor stage comes alive with high-energy music, dazzling dance moves and real-time animation. The 25-minute show features the same cutting-edge technology used in Turtle Talk with Crush and Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, letting guests interact with an animated Stitch in one-on-one encounters. The fuzzy, lovable alien, officially known as Experiment 626, spots specific guests in the audience, ask questions and entertains them in a playful, personalised way. Where Stitch takes digital snapshots of audience members or comments on clothing they're wearing, the show is different every time. He engages audience members of all ages, making them the stars of the intergalactic interlude. In the show, guests follow Stitch as he pilots a borrowed space cruiser. Stitch joins a cast of cosmic characters, including party host Tip Trendo, space diva dancers, and two malfunctioning breakdancing robots on his celebratory journey to planet Earth. So there we go. That is sort of the press release that's come from Stitch's Supersonic Celebration. Interesting, sort of that little bit there says about Stitch has piloted a borrowed space cruiser, and from the videos I've seen of it, it looks exactly like Stitch Live.
Yeah, it's looking that way on that side of it. I'll tell you what I love about this press release is why they feel the need to say that he's from the film Lilo and Stitch. Yeah. As if you don't know who Stitch is, you go, "Who's Stitch? Oh, that one." But I think it's great. I think, you know, being someone who's brought up and showing my age now on things like ZX81s, I remember 8-bit computer graphics. And I think, you know, this kind of utilization of, and we've discussed this, something, the Turtle Talk and Monsters, Inc., the money that originally does is to actually cost and build it up, and now they can utilize it elsewhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it'd be really great, really interactive. They've certainly got the weather can do it wherever they want to out there. But yeah, the spaceship looks very reminiscent, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's very, very similar. And the way he interacts and his movement around the spaceship also looks very, very similar. But there is one issue that people have reported. That is, at the early showings, it's fine. They've sort of got a lip over the top, which covers the sun, so you can still see the screen. But later in the day, the sun starts to come down, and it seems that it's starting to glare onto the screen and stopping people from being able to see Stitch on the screen itself. So a few issues, I suppose, to start with. Hopefully they'll sort them out eventually.
Yeah, you wouldn't have that problem in Paris, you see, because it would always be dark and overcast.
And everything is inside. They never put anything outside. Okay, let's move on then, jump on the monorail, nip over to Epcot, where we have the details for this year's Food and Wine Festival. It's going to be from September the 25th to November the 8th, and this is the 14th annual Epcot International Food and Wine Festival. There's going to be loads of great new stuff this year. The festival is going to spotlight tastes from cities on six continents. Some particular ones including Boulogne in Italy, Bangkok, Thailand, Wellington, New Zealand, Santiago, Chile, Marrakesh, Morocco, Shanghai, China, and from the United States, New Orleans. Going to be tapas-sized portions. They're going to run from $2 to $7 each, and they're going to have recommended wine and beers to help with sort of pairing up at each kiosk. Puglia, Italy, returns as a sponsor this year, presenting culinary demonstrations with regional chefs and showcasing adventures of pasta and olive oils. Live regional entertainment is scheduled throughout each day along the promenade. There's going to be daily wine and beer tastings around the world. There's also going to be live music, including things such as classical rock, jazz, R&B, funk and soul. And there's going to be the Eat to the Beat stage. They're going to have Richard Marx, Better Than Ezra, Vanessa Carlton, John Waite, and Billy Ocean. See, Billy Ocean would be fantastic. That is showing my age. Also returning acts, things like Big Bad Voodoo, Daddy, En Vogue, Sister Hazel, Cool and the Gang, Spyro Gyra, John Cicada, Sister Sledge, Taylor Dane, Boys to Men, Night Ranger, and Los Lobos, and Starship. We built this city to rock and roll, obviously.
How do you actually eat to the beat, though? Do you have to eat it as they're doing it?
Yeah, you can only eat as you do it. And if it's a slow song, your food's going to go very cold.
Yeah.
But again, another interesting one. I've been interested to know what city they're going to choose for the UK this year. It'd just be great. I'd love them to choose something like Birmingham, UK. I don't know what their food is there. You know what I mean? We haven't really got any major specialties over in the UK, so it'd be interesting.
Glasgow,
UK.
With the fried Mars bars.
Oh, you see, they should do that.
See, that's my idea, that.
Do that. Fried Mars bars served in the Yorkshire County Fish and Chip Shop.
Yes.
Great idea. There we
Thank
go,
you.
Disney. Use that one. It'd be great. But the Epcot Food and Wine Festival, back again. And, you know, unfortunately, it's always at the wrong time of year for me to be able to go out and see it properly. And, you know, I think that's probably not a bad thing, because I'd probably make myself very sick on the way around there. But, you know, I think it's another great event, isn't it, always?
Yeah, I mean, it annoys me no end. I've got to go out to this. I mean, the amount of people who've gone out and you hear the stories back. And to me, this is my idea of heaven. A, I love World Showcase, and B, food and drink. You know, that is the way you want to go.
Yes, definitely. And so it just sounds like there's going to be some great events again, as there always is over there. Okay, let's head over to Hollywood Studios then. So first thing, well, are we saying goodbye to that hat that has been in the centre of Hollywood Boulevard all these years? During the recent 20th anniversary of Disney Hollywood Studios, they had a special presentation that was held by some of the senior Imagineers over at Walt Disney Imagineering, who talked about the history of Walt Disney, the Disney Hollywood Studios and MGM Studios as it was. And they looked at photos, etc., etc. And they talked about lots and lots of different things. So they brought up slides of the Grumman's Chinese Theatre. They brought up slides of the Backlot Tour. And they talked about all of them. And then they brought up a photo of the hat, said absolutely nothing, and just clicked on. And apparently it just caused a huge cheer among the Disney fans that are in there. And there were sort of two or three comments made during the presentation about this hat being there. And it's almost as if Walt Disney Imagineering have now realised that people just don't want the hat. They want Grumman's Chinese Theatre back. And, you know, maybe it's a sign that this thing's eventually going to disappear.
Yeah, I quite like the hat. I'm sorry.
Do you really?
I'm sorry, yeah. Although, I'm really keen on this because I can't wait for it. If it's going to go, I'm going to be straight to mousesurplus.com. Who's going to buy a hat
in your
that
back
size?
Garden. It's never going to happen. But, it's okay. But the thing is, it ruins the whole story of Hollywood Boulevard. If you listen to the WDW radio show with Lou on episode, I think it was 117, beginning of May, there was a whole sort of walking tour to do with the studios itself. And part of it was the story of Hollywood Boulevard and how everything fits in and how everything goes up to Grumman's Chinese Theatre. And I think it sort of spoils that a little bit, having the hat there.
I think your problem is if they get rid of the hat, I have a nagging feeling there's going to be something Pixar-related put there, ready to go into Pixar place.
Yeah, true. And Toy Story 3 coming out is a possibility that might happen. But I'd like to see just the theatre back on its own, you know, with nothing else with it. That'd be fantastic if they actually did it. The chances of that happening, I think, are very, very far and few between sort of in the next few months, certainly. Okay. Club Penguin, then. This is sort of a phenomenon that seems to have slowly caught on the internet, and something that I can honestly say I don't really know a huge amount about. You do, don't you?
Yes.
Do you? Go on.
Yes.
Tell us about Club Penguin.
You go on. It's an internet site, and you walk around. You adopt a penguin who's you, and you can walk around and interact with other penguins, and you get a little igloo, and you have little friends that join you, and you can buy stuff. Apparently, someone once told me.
I was just about to give you a big round of applause. I was quite.
Do you know
impressed.
What? No, what I tell you what was even funnier that this popped up is the fact that I was in the Disney store in Liverpool over the weekend, and they have got tons of Club Penguin merchandise now, and I was sad because going, look, I get little characters of Club Penguin here.
I've looked on the website a few times, so I don't really know a huge amount about it, but they've decided to do a meet and greet test over in Hollywood Studios. They've situated it over to the right of the entrance of Backlot Tour, and it seems that it's only there for a short period of time, and that the characters make an appearance every hour between about 9:30 and 4:30, with a break between about 1:30 and 2:30, but it's not expected to be there for a very long time. I find that very strange, because actually if you look at photos of the area itself and what they've actually done, it's quite a well-themed meet and greet, and it seems strange that they've spent all this money on it for it then suddenly to sort of just disappear.
Yeah, I think what it is, I mean, Disney spent a lot of money on Club Penguin in the first place when they bought it up. And I think it's always been one of those things that have just been sat in the background.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest with you, Disney suffered a big dent in their online services when VMK went. And it lost a lot of following in that side. And what they did at the time was to try and palm people off with Club Penguin. And I can't think of the game now. I think there was a Pirates game as well, wasn't there?
I think there was.
And they try and do that. So I think that they're trying to build things back up again. And looking at the merchandise in the shop, as I said, it's the first time I've noticed they've actually seemed to be starting to spend some money. So whether this is almost like a... You know, they're testing it out to try and pick it up. Hmm. So I guarantee there'll be probably a Pixar film of Club Penguin in next year.
Yeah, they'll probably start.
You laugh, but I bet there is.
So, that's not the only new meet and greet that's coming to Disney Hollywood Studios, because there's also another one coming, which is going to be the new meet and greet for Up, the new Disney Pixar movie. It's going to be replacing where Bolt is. Well, actually, Bolt's now gone. The meet and greet area has gone already, and they've started to turn it into the Up meet and greet. The area is going to begin on this Friday, the 15th of May. So if anybody's out there, does get a chance to go and have a look, please do let us know, you know, what you think of it. It's something that is going to be quite interesting to see the characters, because actually this time the main characters seem to be human rather than animal. And I always feel meet and greets for animal characters seem to go down a lot better than human characters. So it'd be interesting to see whether it's just as popular.
Well, I'm annoyed because I never got to meet Bolt, or as we know him, Volt, in person. I don't know. I love Bolt. I love the film, and it's a little bit sad that they're gone in walkabouts. But as you say, the strange thing, although saying that, they are pushing up an awful lot. Facebook alone is there's Up previews everywhere, isn't there, on a weekly basis?
Yeah, there's loads of sort of different sort of trailers appearing all over the place, isn't there, for this film. I'm really looking forward to seeing it. And actually, the more and more I see about it, the more and more excited I'm getting about it. So, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing, but it would be nice to see Bolt relocated rather than got rid of.
Yeah, scrap anything to do with Narnia. and put Fluffy like yeah. Bolt and all that lot there. Bigger people pullers.
Or just bring back the proper hit tour of Disney animation and put it in there. That'd be good.
Definitely, yeah.
See, that's two good ideas we've had so far. Deep-fried Mars bars and bring back Disney animation.
Sadly, mine was food-related and yours was probably better.
Or we could get Bolt to sell deep-fried Mars bars.
But that, to me, once again, during the food and wine, that's perfect heaven for me.
Isn't it? There we go.
Sad, but there you go.
Sad. Okay, over to Animal Kingdom. And we talked about Picnic in the Park recently, and it was actually quite interesting that neither of us picked this up. And actually, every podcast I seem to have listened to recently hasn't picked this up at all. That the Picnic in the Park had no vegetarian option to it whatsoever. Did you notice?
I did notice, yes. I was going to point it out.
With your pound of ham, or whatever the other one was. I can't remember off the top of my chicken, that's right. There was no vegetarian option whatsoever. Well, Disney seem to have sorted this and have now got a vegetarian offering as part of it. If you get the Tier 1 package, you now get a portobello mushroom and vegetable wrap as an entree. And if you order either tier, then there's new side dishes, which is the tandoori spiced tofu and zucchini squash. So they've now thought about the vegetarians and they can now really sort of take part in the Picnic in the Park a little bit better.
If you read through it, that just sounds like it's mushroom with some sort of bits of veg in it.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, portobello mushroom and vegetable wrap, are they giving mushrooms some sort of elevated status? Is that not a vegetable?
It's mushroom and some carrots in a wrap. I'm a great believer that, you know, I don't eat the food that my food eats.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah. So, yeah, don't eat that. It's not good. Okay, now, the portobello mushrooms are quite nice. I do quite like them, so that'd be good. Right, Downtown Disney then. Let's leave behind the vegetarians. And we're going to go to Downtown Disney as Virgin Megastore have a sale on. It's their clearance sale because they are closing on the 31st of May. There's a new sign that has appeared outside Virgin Megastore that has, quote, the biggest sale ever. They have reduced, taken 30% off magazines, 20% off CDs, DVDs and books, and 10% off electronics, apparel and accessories.
Could I ask there then, do I still get my annual pass discount?
Oh, that's a very good question. I don't know whether you do or not.
Because I used to always say on the annual pass
that is that a listener ringing?
It is. It's a vegetarian complaining.
They've already heard it and they're ringing up about the complaints.
So it usually says that on that you can't get discount on your early discount. But I'm just wondering if you can still get the annual pass discount there, then, you know, Virgin Store, bizarrely enough, and, you know, we discussed this, is the fact that their book prices are really good anyway. You never pay full whack for their books. No. So 20% off their books, I think, you know, especially they're one of the places around there that if you manage to get down there, they do the Walt Disney biography by Neil Gabler.
Yes.
At well off its recommended retail price. And if you can get down there, you can get an absolute bargain.
And that is a great book as well, just in case you've not read it.
Very thick book.
It is. I'm still getting through it. You know, I'm about 200-something pages in and I'm still at about 1936. And it ends in 1966. So, you know, it's got a good way to go. And it's an excellent book, really is. Some other Disney news for you. And this one is quite interesting, one that's sort of popped up over the past few days. And that is for the Toy Story Mania game for the Wii. And now we talked about this a good month or so ago now, about the fact that they were releasing a video game version of the ride. Well, Disney have now given a release date for the Toy Story Mania game, which is going to be the 18th of September, which in my opinion is far too far away. There's no news on price, but there has been an interview that has been released recently with information about the game itself. So what we're actually going to do is we're going to play you the interview that has been released, so you can listen to it. It's about 5 minutes long, and then we're going to come back to you when we've heard that.
Hey everyone, Sophia here at Disneyland, and I am joined by Richard Robledo, senior producer at Papaya Studios, who's going to show us Toy Story Mania. Hi Richard, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, I'm glad you guys made it tonight. So this is Toy Story Mania. This is inspired by the ride at the Disney theme park at California Adventure. We're taking the ride home to the Wii, and so what we built here, we've been collaborating with Disney Imagineers to bring that same experience to the player for Wii. And this here is Space Rings, and I'm going to be showing you what it's all about. using the Wiimote, you have lots of targets to shoot at. And just like the ride, there's several layers of targets that you're going to be encountering. So, for example, if I shoot these aliens, they trigger these rockets. So now I'm going to be trying to shoot these rockets to trigger more events. All the levels, they have these sort of layered targeting systems. And you get big things happening, especially when you're playing multiplayer. We support up to 4 players. This demo supports up to 2. You play competitively, but there's a little bit of collaboration as far as what you want, as far as the events you can get to trigger. This here is called the waggle moment. We've implemented these to break up the monotony of shooting. You shake the Wiimote as it's showing you, and now you see that there in particular Zerg appeared. All the games have these moments, these waggle moments, and they don't always consist of you waving your wrist around. There's others where you have different kind of mechanics that you're going to be taking part in.
So the shooting mechanic is very much like the ride. So for those of us at home that haven't been on the ride yet, could you kind of describe that as well?
Yes. Yeah, so the shooting mechanic. Well, on the ride, you're pulling a string which launches a projectile. On the Wii, you're going to be pressing either the A button or you're going to be doing a tossing motion with the Wiimote in your hand, and this is what's going to launch your projectiles. So we have 30 games in total. Many of them involve pointing at the screen and shooting with the A button, and there's several others that involve you throwing the a baseball motion with the Wiimote, and there's others like a skee ball game where you're doing an underhanded bowling kind of gesture. So it's not all just point and shoot. We've added several different kinds of ways to use the Wiimote to launch these projectiles. So here at the end of this level here, I'm trying to get big points by getting this UFO to take off, and so I'm doing the motion with the Wiimote as it's prompting me on screen, and you can see the points are being generated more and more. And we've reached the end of the level. It's going to show me my points, and if you're playing with a partner, you would have both of your scores being tallied. The prizes here that are shown, these are tickets. We have a feature that's called our sticker book, and players can purchase different stickers that feature the different characters in the game, and they can build their own scenarios based on certain themes. So you'll have a space background, and you can put Buzz Lightyear stickers with aliens and kind of build your own little scenarios there.
All right, so this is the main menu, and it kind of looks like Andy's room. Could you talk a bit about that?
Yes, so what we wanted to do was build the front end of the game, not like your typical game where you have a list of options to choose from. Instead, we built Andy's room, and your menus consist of his toys that he has. So this here is a toy machine, the stamp machine, and this is what you use to select the different games you want to play. I'm going to play Army Air Raid, and this is going to show off a different kind of use of the Wiimote other than your point-and-click mechanic.
And I'll just pick up one
key. Okay. All right. So this is your toss-the-ball kind of gallery game, and so the soldiers have set up blocks here, and I'm going to be throwing the balls to kind of knock down these little toy structures. So I'll do that. And it tracks your speed, so if you're an ex-baseball player, you can really get the ball flying. If not, you'll see the difference in how fast you're throwing. We have tons of Easter eggs in our levels. This one has one. I'll try to get it to happen. Some are easier to get happen when you're playing in multiplayer, but we wanted to focus on lots of replayability for these games, and so we've implemented all sorts of hidden features. And you'll find those in all the games as the kids are playing the full game.
Now, how does multiplayer work? Are you guys playing together, or is it like turn-based? Or are we taking turns?
Right. Some games you're playing at the same time. This game here in particular, you are taking turns. So on this one, I would go first, and then I would throw all my balls, and the player would take their turn and throw all their balls, and then at the end, they would tally their score. But for the majority of the games, especially where you're shooting projectiles with the point-and-shoot feature, you're playing at the same time, so it's a race to get the most points. And again, you're going to discover more things when you're playing with a friend because you're going to be able to hit more targets more often, which triggers these events to happen.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time for showing us the minigames. And when can we expect Toy Story Mania to hit store shelves?
Toy Story Mania is exclusively for Nintendo Wii, and it will be on the shelves at the end of September.
Great. Thanks for your time.
Okay, so there's the sort of interview that was done by one of the, I think it's the ambassador over at Disneyland, and one of the game makers from Papyrus Games, Papyrus Studios. They are the people who are making the Toy Story Wii game for Disney. And there's some great little sort of clips as part of that video that it originally was, and some great little sort of bits of information about the game itself. You know, I haven't had the opportunity yet, is counting down now, to go on Toy Story Mania in Florida. How similar are the graphics on that game to the actual ride itself?
Even the whole thing is looking dead reminiscent. Even the scoreboard, when it comes up afterwards, was showing the same sort of thing. Something which I hadn't thought of, and it was pointed out in the interview, the fact that just clicking on it will become boring. You know, and I hadn't even dawned on that. And he was going, oh, well, you know, you have to do this with the controller and this to make it different. But the graphics, spot on the same. You're looking at it and going, wow. And I think this is going to appeal. To me, I looked at it and thought, this is a family game. Without a shadow of doubt, I can see us getting this and the whole family have an absolute laugh on it. I mean, there's up to four players. It's going to be hysterical, that. Definitely, for me, that's us over Christmas sorted.
Yeah, because that was one of the things I sort of picked out when I was listening to it, is the fact that, you know, you can use the Wii in different ways to get different things to activate. So it could be flicking it, it could be twisting it, or, you know, rather than just keep continually pressing your A button to actually shoot and fire. And I was reading on the website, well, actually I'll give you the URL address for the website where the interview came from. It's uk.gamespot.com/Wii/puzzle/Toy Story Mania/video. I'll put a link up to it on the forums, but a lot of people on there have put, and these are obviously hardcore gamers, we're not talking about Disney fans here, Oh no, it's another carnival game, oh no, it's another game where there's lots of mini games and we just play it and it's just going to be rubbish, oh no, etc, etc. And I was just like getting quite cross, thinking, you don't actually have the slightest clue as to why this game's been made, do you? And you know, it seems that it fits perfectly with the actual ride out in Walt Disney World and Disneyland, and that it's just giving people the opportunity to play it at home.
Well, I think this is it, and I think I was looking at some of those comments, and you think, well, the Wii is one of these things that I think has become a phenomenon in the console world, and it sort of took Sony by surprise. The fact that I don't buy all the beat-em-up games. You know, our Wii sits in our front room, and it tends to be just purely these silly little fun games within games.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Because it's something that the family come together and we play. So this, to me, Toy Story Mania, A, it's a great because it reminisces about our Florida trip, but B, I think it's just a family game. You know, hardcore gamers will stick with their shoot-em-ups or whatever, you know, which is what my kids do in their bedroom with their consoles. But to me, this is the ultimate. Have a laugh with the family. It's going to be absolutely hysterical. And looking at the graphics there, because it's so similar, I think it's going to be very competitive, and I will always lose, and I will storm off in a huff.
What, you mean a bit like the Disney Brit Buzz Lightyear laser blast competition?
If the car hadn't stopped in the position it stopped, I would have won.
Yeah, okay. Right, okay, let's move on then before you start switching your dummy out. We're going to leave Walt Disney World and American News behind. We're going to get on a plane. We're going to fly over to Disneyland Paris, where it's reasonably sunny at the moment, which is pretty good. Ooh. And we've got just a few bits of news for you for Disneyland Paris this time. Firstly, there was something way back in 2006 where a small Swiss company known as Centertainment AG placed a hoax offer, and it was for a hostile takeover of Disneyland Resort Paris. And obviously, with it being a hoax, it caused quite a problem within Disney. And it finally, as reported by the Wall Street Journal, this Swiss company, or in fact the director of the Swiss company, Mr. Hugh Werner, has been fined €1 million, which is about $1,330,000, by the Autorité de Marché Financier. And basically, because he sort of set up this hoax and he wasn't going to go through, and it caused some issues at the time, they fined him an awful lot of money. Now, he can still appeal, but it's a bit late, really. It's tough. He's done it.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go into hiding because I'm sure I did the same at some point.
Yes, those hoax £2.50 offers you've been putting in.
Well, I was in Mickey Salon. I think we offered something for it, didn't we?
Yes, we offered them something. It wasn't a lot, but it's all fine. It's all good. There we go. So
it's in your name.
It was all me. I want a big thanks, actually, to Joe, who listens to the show, Joe Carter, who has his own blog over at joethedisneyman.blogspot.com, who actually sent me this next piece of news. It was something that I hadn't discovered, and he sort of sent it over for me, about how you can now buy Disney tickets on the move. Onboard Retail Solutions, who are the company who, if you sort of fly or you're on the train, and especially when you're flying and you buy something from them and they get their little machine out and they tap some buttons and they take the money off you, they've included or introduced a new way of buying Disneyland Paris tickets while on the move. They've signed an agreement of which it basically allows them to sell tickets for Disneyland Resort Paris, and they come out in a sort of a receipt style, but I'll just read you what it sort of says on their website. It says, Onboard Retail Solution has secured an agreement with Disney Destinations International UK to sell Disneyland Paris park ticket vouchers to passengers on board airlines and train travelling into Paris. Under the agreement, Onboard will offer passengers the opportunity to purchase park ticket vouchers to enter Disneyland Paris on board certain high-speed trains travelling to the French capital. A variety of passes will be offered, all of which are printed off in voucher form by the crew from a handheld terminal at the point of sale on board the train. As an added incentive, passengers purchasing the vouchers will benefit from competitive prices. The service will be initially deployed on Eurostar in cooperation with the train catering specialists Momentum. Similarly, airlines using onboard POS technology, which fly into Paris, will also be able to offer Disneyland Paris voucher tickets as part of the in-flight service, along with discounts applying. We are absolutely thrilled to have struck this agreement with Disney Destination International UK, which comes at a crucial time for Onboard Retail Solutions, says CEO Thomas Drouin. Not least because selling Disneyland Park tickets, vouchers on board is a perfect example of our VIP, our virtual inventory product services. VIPs are a new way to offer passengers a much wider selection of products that goes far beyond traditional onboard retail. They can range from transportation tickets and mobile phone top-ups to car rental and hotel room vouchers and destination tickets. So it seems that this is going to be, this new system is going to be useful for people who aren't very organized. You know what I mean? In
that's
the fact
not,
that
that's not nice.
No, but if I know I'm going to Disneyland Paris, I will have sorted my tickets or know what I'm doing before I go. And it seems that this sort of system, I don't think it's necessarily going to revolutionize the way people buy tickets, because most people buy them way before they go. And it just seems to me that they're sort of expecting a lot of people to turn up having not bought anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's something there, because I think if you're going, if they're going to expand the service, then you could be anywhere, couldn't you? You could be flying in to Paris and they go, well, do you want your tickets now? And you go, oh, well, I'm here. I'll get them now. And then they've got, it's guaranteed, that side of it. And you're also talking to the man who went to Paris and forgot all his travel adapters. So, you know, to me, if they add travel adapters to this as well, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Travel adapter voucher.
But no,
I think,
you know, in some ways, you go, yeah, there's a problem, the fact that, you know, you should have got your tickets in advance. There's also the fact that this is the beginning of something as well. So what's to say that you're not on your train, yeah? And they go, do you know what? Do you want some Buffalo Bill tickets?
Yeah.
And you haven't even thought about going, you're going, do you know what? Yeah, I'll have them now. Because you're in the mood. They've got you in a situation where you're Disneyed up.
Yeah, I think if they extend it to something like that, then we've got a winner. Something works. It just seems park tickets to me seems a bit of a, not a no-brainer, just not necessarily a goer in the fact that it's going to get them a lot of revenue. The other thing, though, they also say about flying into Paris. Now, obviously, we've just been, and my flight from East Midlands Airport to Paris was just under an hour. And to be honest, when I was on the plane itself, it was a case of, here is your safety announcements. We take off. They throw sandwiches at you as they run down the aisle because they don't have that long. They throw duty-free at everybody, and then they sit down again. And suddenly to include this ticket system as well, it's all, to me, it feels like they don't necessarily have enough time to do everything they want to do anyway. So to include this as well, it might just make it more manic than it is already.
It depends if they touch the more long haul, if they start looking at the American flights coming in. Yeah. And you look at the numbers of the Americans coming into Paris alone, it's phenomenal. And if you could get them and perhaps even, let's say the American flight is a prime example, if you get them coming in and you could get them some kind of deal where you go, I'll buy a ticket for one day and you get 2 days. I mean, we know ourselves the amount of deals that have been coming out with likes of those train tickets, etc.
Yeah, that's true.
Disney, you know, the figures are up, yet they're still being so proactive about everything. I hope it does well to a certain degree, because I think, you know, Disney Europe seems to be more proactive than Disney America side of things.
Yeah.
And I think coming up with these new inventions where you go, well, as you say, you know, it could add different things on, you know. You could get your Starbucks voucher for when they open Starbucks.
Yeah, they could go as far as that. But it is with Disney Destinations International UK.
Mm.
So it would be interesting to see whether they're going to be able to offer them to US sort of visitors as well. I don't know how far that's going to stretch. Okay, so let's enter into the park. We've actually only got one piece of news, really, for Disneyland Paris's parks this time. Although I've got one I'm going to give you for Disney Village as well. And that is, there's a possibility of a new show coming to the Chaparral Theatre. And we talked that they'd cancelled Tarzan, that people had gone up in arms about it, and they brought Tarzan back. Well, it now seems that Tarzan may be disappearing again. And instead of that being returning in the summer, it's going to be a new show called Goofy's Summer Camp. Now, this is expected to be a brand new show. It's going to have a new set, live musicians, and some kind of interactive element. It's also believed Disney are going to reuse some of the old Pocahontas set from the park's opening. And the show is expected to run from the 4th of July to the 30th of August. This, I'll stress, is rumour. It's not something that's been confirmed by Disney, although there's a lot of information around. I don't know whether this is going to go down as well as Tarzan. It's nice to see something different, I must admit. I know I said that I'm fed up with watching Tarzan now. I've seen it that many times. It'd be nice to see something new, and whether this is something that's going to be a regular summer event.
I think it'd do well. You know, the inclusion of a lot of characters, and, you know, we've been critical in the past, so we've seen things with the characters. When I think of this Goofy Summer Camp, you think, actually, they could do an awful lot with this. Even with some of the set they've got in Tarzan, they could manipulate and utilise it. If it comes across, I'm happy with this. I think it's a good way forward. It stops the thing originally, which, you know, for us, it was like, are we going to cancel everything from there?
Yeah.
But now they're going, well, actually, no, let's push something back, but let's make it different. And you think, brilliant.
It'd be interesting to see what old Pocahontas set they might use. They had a fantastic waterfall that was part of the set of Pocahontas. So it'd be great to see them bring that back. But who knows? I quite like Mickey's Winter Wonderland with the use of the characters there. And whether it be something similar to that, it'd be good to see.
Yeah, and you could utilise characters left, right and centre in that, couldn't you?
Yes, oh yeah, without shadow of a doubt, they could be all over the place. Okay, well, we want to give you a bit of Disney Brit news as part of the news segment. I've not really done this before. Just some hints and some recaps and things like that of things that we've done or are doing. Of course, we have a show coming out every 2 weeks, and we are now on episode 15. And episode 16 of the show, which is coming up in 2 weeks, we're going to include a listener email segment as part of the show. Now, if you want to send in a question or a comment about the show, and we'd really like you to do that. Please do that. And we'd love to receive, you know, emails from you. We've got loads lined up, but we could always do with more. Even if it includes some sort of audio messages. Some people have sent us audio messages in the past, and it's fantastic for you to do that. You can email them to us. But please send them to disneybrit@hotmail.com. We really do want to hear from you guys about what you want to know about, questions you might have that you want us to answer, whether it's Disneyland Paris or it's Walt Disney World. Do send them to us, and we'll include them in the listener email segment for the next show.
Yeah, also, I mean, this is why Joseph Carter is one of my favourite people at the moment. He sent a fantastic bit of audio coming in next show.
There's a piece of audio that will be coming into the next show, which will include in our listener email segment. Of course, also, don't forget to enter the current competition that we've got from our recent Disneyland Paris trip. I'll recap those questions later on in the show. And also, we still have the voting for the Disney Brit Top 7 of Walt Disney World. That poll is still open at www.wdisneyw.com/forums. That is still over there for you to vote on. Loads of people have voted on it so far, so thank you if you've done that. But if you haven't, do go over and have your say. We are going to give you what we think our top 7 is. We're also going to bring you good old Stacey. She's going to bring us her top 7. And we also want to know what your top 7 is as well, to see how they all fit together. Okay, final bit of news then. And this is going to be our first ever Disney Brit meet. Now, this is going to happen before Mouse Meet. It's going to be our Disney Brit meet. I'm obviously, as you may know, going over to Walt Disney World in the summer. And while I'm out there, I want to run our first ever Disney Brit meet. It's going to be in the Magic Kingdom. And it's going to be on Friday, the 14th of August. Okay, Friday, the 14th of August. It'll probably be sometime late morning. I haven't got any more details as yet. There will be more details to follow. But if you are going to be over in Walt Disney World during that time, or you live close enough to sort of come and say hello, Friday the 14th of August in the Magic Kingdom, send us an email again at disneybrit@hotmail.com. I'll also set up a thread on the forums for people to write down, you know, whether or not they're around, whether they're going to come. And we'll put some interesting things together for that particular meet.
He's not worth meeting, by the way. Can I just put that in?
Yeah, you're jealous because you're not
big
coming.
Big disappointment. You start talking into a mic and walking down Main Street and embarrassing you.
Yeah. No, I won't do that, I promise. So, yeah, Friday the 14th of August, and we'll have our meet there. Well, that's the news, really. So that rounds up everything until our next news segment.
Woohoo!
Join me back here at Buffalo Bills, where Trent Vance is with me again. If you listened to the last episode of the podcast, you know that we started an interview with him, and you've just finished the show, just finished the first show of the evening. How was it?
Yeah, it was great. Good. Coming back, I had 2 weeks vacation. I worked with a new actress who I hadn't met before tonight, and I had a lot of energy, and the crowd was had a lot of energy, and the cast seemed to be on fire, so yeah, it was good. Really fun.
And we were talking earlier, you were saying that there was a story behind how Buffalo Bill actually got his name, and you were going to tell us a little bit about that.
Well, as the America and West expanded, and they were trying to reach the West Coast, they were building railroads, and so they had railroads being built, and they also had the army to protect the railroad workers. Uh-huh. Buffalo Bill was hired specifically, one of his jobs was a scout, with that was to hunt and buffalo and provide meat to these people who were working. Uh-huh. So that's what he did out there. And there's actually another guy named William, I can't remember his name now, who was also doing the exact same thing and who had the same level of reputation. Uh-huh. And this other guy was also called Buffalo Bill. So there were two Buffalo Bills doing the same thing at the same time. Okay. And in fact, it was Colonel Custer, George Armstrong Custer, who took it upon himself to arrange a match between the two to decide who would be called Buffalo Bill and who would be called just Bill. And Buffalo Bill Cody won. Comstock was the other guy's, William Comstock, and William Comstock lost, and he was killed a couple of years later.
By Indians. Okay, so that's how it happened. Okay.
So that's how it happened.
Yeah. And of course, Buffalo Bill obviously being famous, and actually there's the link with Disney and the fact that Walt Disney met Buffalo Bill when he was a child in Marceline, Missouri, traveled down the street, and Walt Disney had this thing from ever since. And is that, do you think that's part of the reason as to why Buffalo Bill now exists in Disneyland Paris?
I do indeed, and in fact, Disney admired the way that Buffalo Bill did his show, and I think Mike Eisner knew all of the story behind that. And he knew that there was a link between the two, and it was really Mike Eisner, from my knowledge, from what I've heard, who came to this project with that idea, to the Disneyland Paris, with the idea of putting Buffalo Bill in as the show. And I think it was all based on this link between Disney and his respect for Buffalo Bill's original Wild West show. So it's kind of a circle coming around, and Michael Eisner doing the same thing. And so here we are.
Great. Disney don't actually own the rights to Buffalo Bill, do they? From what I found out, the Buffalo Bill was actually owned by an American.
Yeah.
And so how if they don't have the rights, Disney gets to perform it in Paris?
Well, the guy in the States has the rights in the States. He's registered in the States.
Okay.
But he didn't quite do all he needed to do to protect it worldwide, apparently. And so that was the way that Disney was able to exploit that over here, from my understanding. That's the research that I have. And I know this other guy, I can't remember his name, Montana, Monty Montana, kind of tried to pursue some legal avenues to see if he could get that reversed or get some kind of compensation for it. And I think he just ran into enough, too much. I would saw that it really didn't have, he didn't have a secure enough hold on the name. And also there's the problem that Buffalo Bill, William Frederick Cody, is an historical figure.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't really claim rights to an historical figure. And there were a lot of Wild West shows at the time that were similar and that were done after his or before his. So it's a bit of a, it's not precise enough to be protected, to be able to be protected, I think. So he just didn't pursue it much further. So.
And you were talking, obviously, about Walton, about Michael Eisner. You obviously know a lot about that. Are you a Disney fan yourself?
I'm not necessarily a Disney fan. I mean, I appreciate the company. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's established itself as a leading entertainment company.
Yeah.
And I've got kids, so, and I was a kid, so I certainly understand and appreciate everything that it has to do. But in terms of being a Disney aficionado and fan and knowing a lot about Disney, probably not so, not as much as many other people.
Does that mean you, do you visit the parks with your kids?
I do, yeah.
What, do you have a favorite attraction that you go to, you know, your first stop?
My favorite one is, so far, I mean, this is a new one, is Crush's Coaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that ride. For a long time, when my kids were very young, we always had to do It's a Small World. And then they kind of grew out of that, and now we're at the Crush's Coaster, which makes me happy. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is a really good one. You say you have children. You know, what do they think that Dad is Buffalo Bill? You know, Dad's job is to be Buffalo Bill. You know, what's their opinion on that?
Ah, they think it's pretty cool. Yeah, they really like it, actually.
I can imagine they probably do.
Yeah, yeah, I'm pretty proud of it.
We were talking back when we were talking about the interview in the last show. We were talking about that the show's obviously been around a long, long time. Mm-hmm. With that, several of the cast have been around a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And there's obviously over the years many, many stories that have come about through working with people and things that have happened with the show.
Yeah.
You know, what are some of the most memorable stories for you?
Oh, we've had, you know, there's a lot of stories that probably aren't suitable for the Disney for the Disney podcast. So we'll keep those to the side. But there have been some confrontations with local people, and there's been a lot of, when you can go on my website and my blog and read some of them. But there's a lot of stories. I mean, we've got a lot of famous people that come here as well, which is kind of always interesting. It's not a story in itself, but just last week we had... we had someone come back here, and I've already... Oh, it was Phil Collins came back.
Wow.
And saw the show and came back with his family and took pictures and everything. And Michael Jackson has been a big fan of the show over the years. And Danny DeVito came here. And in the beginning, Gibson, what's his name? Mel Gibson came here and saw the show. And Kevin Costner. I mean, there's been all these people to come see the show. Mm. So that's kind of always fun.
Yeah, I can imagine.
To be performing for people who you watch, and they're watching you, and they come back and they appreciate what you do. So it's fun. And John Cleese as well, he came back and saw the show. Yeah.
And is there any embarrassing stories? Things that have happened that you've thought, oh, I can't believe that happened.
Tons. I would need a little bit of time to think them through, but always the time. I mean, anything from as simple as being on stage and realizing that you forgot to put on your microphone and you're there and you're alone and the music stopped and it's you with no voice and no way to tell anybody that you have no voice. So as small as that, and then as big as, you know, people's costumes coming undone and ripping apart and seeing, you know, their underwear and that kind of thing. So there's a, for me personally, I haven't had, there's one actual backstage story that was really, really embarrassing for me. I wasn't Buffalo Bill yet. And basically what happened is I was in a rush, I was a bit worked up, and I threw my saddle on and I adjusted some stirrups, and I in the process, I neglected to attach the cinch to the saddle. And I grabbed a hold of the horn. I was going to just leap on because I was really in a hurry. And I grabbed a hold of the saddle. And about halfway up, I realized that the saddle was coming down and I wasn't going up. And I landed with a crash on the hard concrete. And I got up and looked around. And there was another cowboy who's been here from the beginning, was well established and well respected, who saw the whole thing and just burst into laughter. So it's one of those things where you look around and hope no one's looking, but someone was.
And obviously, while you've been out doing the show tonight, I was able to listen to some of it. And was it Colorado or Red River? Colorado, Red River, was it, that went this evening?
Yeah.
And obviously, that changes each and every night. And you have this unknown quantity with the cowboy games and with live animals. You know, people say never work with children or animals.
Yeah.
And you do the animals in abundance.
Yeah.
How do you and the team work together to make sure that each show runs smoothly each night?
It's just a matter of everybody knowing what is to be expected of the performance. I mean, and it boils down to the cast. Mm. If we have a cast who are not great horse people, because sometimes we have to hire people when we have injuries and that kind of thing, who maybe aren't as advanced in horse men or women as others, then it can be a bit of a problem. But fortunately, we always have a lot of guys on stage who are really, really good horsemen who have been doing it their whole lives, and they know, and they look out for the guys who maybe need a little bit of help. Uh-huh. And everybody just works together and knows what they're doing. There's no real secret to it other than just knowing what you're doing and knowing horses and
okay.
how to deal with them.
Excellent. So, the big question then. Mm-hmm. Buffalo Bills has been going for 17 years.
Yeah.
And suddenly, this year, they turned around and said, we're going to introduce Mickey Mouse, Chippendale, et cetera, as part of this Mickey's Magical Party year. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the inclusion of these characters has sort of lost the show's integrity a little bit? This Wild West show that's supposed to be historical, and suddenly we've got these Disney characters that have appeared. Do you think, has the show lost its integrity, or do you think it still holds it up the same?
That was very much my concern when I first heard about the idea, that it would do exactly that. But I'm surprised to know, and I'm not saying this just because this is a Disney podcast, but I'm surprised that it works. It works. It works in the same way that we all believe that Santa Claus exists.
Yeah.
And if we all believe that it's real, then it works. Mm. And also, it boils down to the cast. We hire authentic Native American Indians and authentic cowboys, and they're real horses, and there's real stuff coming from the horses, and all this. Everything's real out there. And there are enough other scenes that don't have the characters in that everyone is able to establish their true identity and that authenticity. So that when the characters come into the scene, I don't think it takes that away. I'm not sure if it would be my first choice if I was doing that. But on the other hand, I understand why. I mean, if you want to sell a film, then you put a star in the show. Mm. I don't care what the film is. If it has Tom Hanks in it, it's going to make some money. And the same thing is true with any kind of a production. And in this show, in this company, the star of the company is Mickey Mouse and his friends. Yeah. If I was a star, people would come to see me, but I'm not. I'm Trent Vance. You know what I mean? If I was Kevin Costner,
you
people would come to see me.
Yeah,
I'm Buffalo Bill, but I'm not someone playing Buffalo Bill who's famous enough to sell a poster, to sell it on a poster.
Although, you know, you sold the show well enough for 12 years.
That's true.
Still coming.
That's it. There's an argument, and I think it's valid, that if you would put the same amount of effort into it to make it back the way it was originally conceived, you probably would have had similar results. You would still get the audience participation back up.
And you talked about you do a blog. Where can we find out more about you, more about the blog that you do?
Okay, you can just go online. It's I've got the two different addresses point to the same thing. One is www.thecasualreporter.com. Got to put the "the" in there because I don't know the other one. Or you can just go straight to casualreporter.blogspot.com. And I've got another one that links from those. That's the Buffalo Bills blog.
From that website, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, personally, I think you probably have the coolest job in the whole of Disneyland Paris, without a shadow of a doubt. To be able to go out, ride horses, be Buffalo Bill, to shoot guns, to catch criminals, all of those things every night. I think it's just amazing. Thank you just so much for allowing us in to talk to you and to talk to you about what you do and how you enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm coming to see the show tonight, so good luck with it again. I'm really looking forward to coming to see it. Before we go, can I ask you to do one thing for me? I haven't prepped you for this, but could you give us that line that you give in the show, the line about the sun and the west, and the Buffalo Bill famous line that you give us?
Just remember, wherever there's a sunset, there's a west. But there's only one, Buffalo Bill's Wild West.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Trent. Hello, you join me as I'm really walking back up to the hotel. I've just been to interview Buffalo Bill, a fantastic guy, an amazing, amazing guy. The whole cast met Sitting Bull as well, and also Didier, who is sort of the master of ceremonies for the show. And just I wanted to talk to you about sort of really the experience of being backstage during the show and just how exciting it is. I was really, really lucky in the fact that I was able to go back there as the show was going on, able to hear what was going on, see the things that happened. And when you go and see sort of Buffalo Bills, you don't quite realise just how much goes on. I was able to go into the corridors and to actually just see the horses that are moving about, people riding horses in down inside of corridors, and you know, being able to get changed and wearing costumes and things like that, and just the sheer organisation and it's completely organised sort of activity that goes on backstage. When we go and see Buffalo Bills, you know, we sort of we go and enjoy it, and we sit down and we eat our food that's given to us, and we enjoy the show that's put on. And I think sometimes we probably forget about just how much hard work actually goes on backstage. And I really want to just to say a huge, huge thank you, a huge, huge well done to everyone at Buffalo Bills who gave us the opportunity to sort of go and see Vance and all the other guys backstage. And make sure that if you are in Disneyland Paris, you really do give Buffalo Bills a consideration, because it really is a fantastic show.
Welcome to the answers for the 10th Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. We, of course, brought you the questions in the last show, and we're now going to bring you the answers, as we always do. So let's start ourselves off then at question one. So, question one then for 100 points. What is the name of the first ever feature-length animated movie made by Walt Disney? And, of course, the answer was Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Now, this 1937 movie was the first ever animated feature film in movie history. It was directed by David Hahn and produced by Walt Disney. The film premiered at the Carthay Circle Theatre on the 21st of December. The film was finally released to the public on the 4th of February 1938... by RKO Pictures. Question two then for 200 points. Miley Cyrus is also known as which television character? It is, of course, Hannah Montana. Now, this show is an Emmy Award-nominated series that originally aired on the Disney Channel. The first episode of Hannah Montana debuted on the 24th of March 2006 and is now in its third series. Hannah Montana the movie was released this year, 2009. Question three, then, 300 points. What was the name of Disney's first ever water park? It is, of course, River Country. Now, mostly centred around Bay Cove Beach and Upstream Plunge, this was the first water park to be built on Disney property. River Country opened in 1976 and closed in November 2001. Then it wasn't until the 20th of January 2005 that Disney officially announced the permanent closure of the water park. As well as several water slides, the pool also had a tire swing, a boom swing, a rope climb, and a T-bar drop. Question five, then, 500 points. In which Walt Disney World location can you order a No Way Jose? In which Walt Disney World location can you order No Way Jose? The answer is, of course, Beaches and Cream, which is located at Disney's Yacht and Beach Club and sells a large array of ice creams as well as the usual burgers and sandwiches. The No Way Jose is described as a peanut butter and hot fudge delight with chocolate and vanilla ice cream, peanut butter and chocolate morsels, whipped cream, and a cherry ice cream. So, ice cream, anyone? Question seven, then, 700 points. Who sang the title song to the 2007 update of the O Canada film? So who sang the title song for the 2007 update of the O Canada film? And it is Eva Valia, who was asked to perform the new version of the O Canada song, having won Canadian Idol in 2006. She was the second ever female winner of the show. And finally then, question eight for 800 points. Who was, or who is, Scoop Sanderson? Who does he work for, and where do you find him? Well, of course, Scoop Sanderson is a Main Street USA character. He is a journalist, and you can find him on, as I've already said, Main Street. Now, as I've said, Main Street is a journalist. He is the Main Street Gazette reporter who can sometimes be found wandering Main Street USA. He can often be found looking confused over the mention of such words as digital camera or iPod. He can give you all the gossip, though, of things that have happened on this famous street. Well, there you go. They are the answers to the eight questions for this trivia quiz. I once again had some emails in from people who had sort of had a go at the quiz. Andrew Paul, once again, well done. All eight questions correct. And a new listener, Brian Martsoff, who is the host of the Your Ear to the World podcast, who is part of the WDW News Today group. He emailed in, got all eight questions correct. So well done to you, Brian. If you can send us an email with your address, then we will send out to you a copy of our Disney Brit Trivia DVD game. Of course, anybody can get all eight right. You are eligible to win yourself one of these DVDs. So well done, Brian. And of course, we will bring you on the next show eight new questions for you to have a go at. Melon rhymes, let's listen to the land we all love. Nature's plan will shine upon. Listen to the land. We haven't had a Credit Crunch tip from Juz for a while. The last Credit Crunch tip we had, we sort of handed over to one of our listeners. So Juz is going to return with his tip for this month. So Juz, what is your Credit Crunch tip this time?
Right, it's a bit of a funny one, because I went through my Credit Crunch tips and I realised that virtually all my tips were food-related.
That's very true.
So I had a conversation with the family. I thought, oh, what was actually something that we didn't spend a lot of money on but we spent a lot of time doing? And do you know what? Which came out really, really bizarre. And I'm going to say this. Mr. Potato Head.
Okay, go on.
Okay, Mr. Potato Head. $19 we have here, yeah?
Yeah.
Not going to kill you. If you go to somewhere like Disney, Downtown Disney.
The Once Upon a Toy Store.
You can grab yourself a box, and in that box you can fit as much as you like in Mr. Potato Head for $19. And you wouldn't believe how much you can fit. There's a couple of things I'm going to say here. A, we cheated. We actually had a Mr. Potato Head before we went out. But you can't buy most of the Disney parts to him at all in the UK unless you go out to Disney. So we filled the box completely full of Disney Mr. Potato Head parts. Or if you don't have a Mr. Potato Head, you can actually open up the back of Mr. Potato Head and shove everything inside him.
Ah, good thinking.
Which is completely allowed, by the way. We did check on this. You can just shove all the arms and everything inside Mr. Potato Head. He doesn't seem to mind. He's quite okay with it. And what sounds really bizarre with this is the amount of families doing this. This will take you about an hour with your children, because they're picking stuff up and they're moving stuff around, and it becomes a big family event. We actually sat with five families, all American families, and we had a great time. We spent an hour with our children picking up bits of potato heads and shoving them in this box. And you can, as long as you can close the very top part, whatever you do to that box is allowed. And we all went out afterwards. So I thought $19 for an hour of sitting there, the kids loved it as an evening event. Because sometimes in the evening, you know, everyone's tired. It's a pick-me-up. I think it's an absolute bargain. So I think anyone who's ever thought about it, get themselves down there. $19, 1 hour of complete and utter fun. The kids entertain themselves, and you can sit and talk to adults who are sat there going, you know, what's going on?
And don't the cast members are sort of experts at filling those boxes as well, aren't they? And they're brilliant at knowing how much you can get in there. So it's always something that the cast members...
It's really bizarre. To help you. As you say, cast members come up. I mean, it was cast members who first came up when we had one of them was going, do you know, you shove them inside there. And they will take stuff out for you and repackage it. Even if you go and it's slightly bulging, they will squash it down to make sure it fits. And you won't believe how much you can get for $19. You know, you can get autograph books. Now, first of all, bear in mind, if you go in there and you've already got the potato head at home, you still need the arms. The arms are actually specifically designed for Disney to hold the Disney parts, like the autographed book, the Mickey ice cream and stuff like that. So you've got to get the arms. Do not forget them. But if you already got a head, you know, you can pick them up anywhere these days. Go down. The amount of stuff you can put in that, absolute bargain.
That's a great tip, actually, yeah, because we've got a few Mr. Potato Heads here at home at my son's house. So we can pick up loads of stuff. It's a really good tip.
Exactly. And the other thing I'll just tag on to that when I'm talking about shopping and stuff like that is, while it's very tempting to buy stuff in Disney parks, please remember you do have alternatives. And I've rattled through a few of the alternatives here. You've got Disney Character Premium Store, which is down at Orlando Premium Outlets. You've got the Disney Character Warehouse, which I think, top of my head, I think is like Prime Outlets.
Yeah, I think it is, yeah.
And the Character Corner Store, which is down at Lake Buena Vista Factory Stores, which is also where you'll probably find... Well, actually, it's not. I was going to say, if you're flying out with... I can't think of the airline now, but it's gone bust.
Don't fly with them, then.
Travel City Direct. You used to go down there and get... Yes, book him. All these places do really good Disney stuff for about half the price you're paying the parks.
And are these official Disney places, or are they sort of surplus stores?
They are surplus stores. So you tend to find what you get is slightly about 3 months out of date. Because bearing in mind, Disney stock rotation is incredibly quick. So you'll find, I mean, bizarrely enough, you go in summer and the stuff you can pick up dirt cheap for Christmas is unbelievable because you're buying Christmas past. But when you bear in mind you're buying stuff for this Christmas, you know, it's bizarre, but you can hit that stage. And we're talking 50, 60, 70% off prices. And we've also found that some of the stuff that's on the outlet stores are still on sale in the park. So check these out, especially if you're talking to a budget. You know, there's some great stores here. Walmart's another one, which is Walmart will sell you Disney towels, Disney watches they do now, the DVDs and the toys at a really reasonable price.
Because Walmart's always a great place, and it's certainly, I know, something we do, which is as soon as you arrive on holiday, you go and stop at a Walmart and you stock up on all those things. And actually, if you haven't been into a Disney park yet and you see the Disney town, you see this and you see that at a less of a price, and you get them then, you're not then going to go into a Disney store and go, oh, we could have paid $39 or whatever for a towel when we just paid $12, etc. Nipping into.
Yeah, Walmart, there's 20 Walmarts in the Orlando area, of which 11 are supercenters. And I mean, you know, if you go to a Walmart, expect to spend half a day there. And that's no exaggeration how big they are. They also do a very clever thing now, some of them called site to store, which means is, let's say, I mean, the dollar rate starts to pick up a bit now for the UK than it was 6 months ago. And you're probably a bigger testament to anyone, Adam, because you'll think about your going. They do site to store, which allows you to actually, let's say you want a specific item, and the certain items which allow, let's say a camera, because you want to get a better camera while you're over there at a better rate. You can actually go to the Walmart site, purchase it, and tell it to deliver to the store in Orlando when you're going to be there. It takes about 10 days lead time.
Well, actually, it's funny you say that, because this is something we're considering doing. I suppose it's another tip, really, that rather than using our own mobile phones when we go out there, we're looking at picking up some of these cheap $8 sort of mobile phones with a pay-as-you-go SIM card and top-up sort of thing. And a lot of them aren't available necessarily in an Orlando store. So what we're going to do is we're going to order them, have them delivered to the store, and then we're going to collect them when we arrive. So, yeah, that's something that definitely works really well.
Yeah, I mean, it means you're not running the risk of going down. I mean, the Walmarts there are absolutely huge and yet scary, because you can walk from DVD games straight into rifles and pistols and some of them, you know, and then into tyres. It's really quite bizarre for British visitors. But if you something specific you want, rather than gamble on getting it, as you're quite right saying, if you do the website to store, give it 10 days, and it'll be there in the store, so you can just go down and pick it up. You've already paid for it. It's just straight pick up.
There you go. Great tip. Okay, thank you, Jez. There are a few tips, really, this time for you to ponder over. And again, if you've got any tips that you want to send in to us, some people certainly have done that, please do send them to disneybrit@hotmail.com, and we'll certainly make sure we use them on future editions of this segment.
And I'll go back to food-related next time. I've got an excuse now.
Yeah, okay. Recently been out to Disneyland Paris, we decided that we were going to bring back a few things for you guys, and we've sort of created a bit of a prize package that you can win. Then we're going to have a bit of a trivia contest, and the way it's going to work is that we have four questions that we're going to get you to try and answer, and we've also got a bonus question for you to try and win yourself the extra bonus item. So I'm going to give you the questions to these four, and then if you think you know what the answers are, then you need to send your answers to disneybrit@hotmail.com, and you're going to have until May the 24th to hand these in. So let's go through the questions then. So here are your four main questions. So question one is this. Name the two arcades that run the length of Disneyland Paris's Main Street USA. I'll read that again. So question one is, name the two arcades that run the length of Disneyland Paris's Main Street USA. Question two is this. According to the bins of Disneyland Paris's Main Street, who maintains the litter? So, according to the bins of Disneyland Paris's Main Street, who maintains the litter? Question three. Which British lyricist is a European Disney legend? So, listen again. Which British lyricist is a European Disney legend? Question four, then. Final question. I'm going to read you the question, and I'm going to give you a clue as to where you can find the answer, and it's this. Who was the winner of the Disney Brit first annual Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast competition? So listen again. Who was the winner of the Disney Brit first annual Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast competition? This was a little contest that myself and Juz had when we were out in Disneyland Paris. And while we were there, we created a bit of a video diary, I suppose, which is available on our website. So your bonus question then, and this will be for a bonus prize, and this is the question. What date was Disneyland Paris's City Hall founded? So what date was Disneyland Paris's City Hall founded? So I need to know the year, what date. And so if you can sort of answer all of those questions, you think you can at least answer those four, then please do send in your answers, like I say, at disneybrit@hotmail.com. I'm going to let you know the prize package you can win. And it is the following. This is your prize package. It will be a Disneyland Paris park map. There'll be a Mickey's Magical Party pen. We're so good to you. A Stitch Live pin. It's the obviously a pin that you can only get if you go out to Disneyland Paris. There's also something that we said in the beginning of the news that we were going to try and pick up, and we did manage to get one, and it is a Mickey's Magical Party CD. And I'm just going to grab the bag here, and I'm going to let you know what is on the CD. Here we go. So there are three different tracks. There's the Mickey's Magical Party Time, there's the Mickey's Magical Party Time Instrumental, and there's Mickey's Magical Party Time Remix. So three different tracks on there. And we're going to send them all out in a Mickey's Magical Party Disneyland Resort Paris bag. Now, bonus prize. If you get that bonus question as well, we're also going to send you out a Disney Brit Trivia DVD. So not only can you get the maps, the pen, the pin, the CD, you can also get yourself a Disney Brit Trivia DVD. So just a reminder, send us an email at disneybrit@hotmail.com, and we'll see who's the winner on the May the 27th, I think it is, show. We haven't brought you a Mouse Meat update for a little while, so we thought we'd give you some more food for thought with regards to the Mouse Meat event. Of course, we want to thank our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct. You can visit them at attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk. And of course, the amazing Le Squeak Radio. You can visit them as well. Another one of our great sponsors. Don't know who owns them. I've heard he's a bit of a nutter. Oh, it's human, isn't it? How is the squeak going? Is it all sounding really good? I know I'm still listening.
Yeah, yeah, we've got one listener, apparently.
That's me, then. So you don't even listen to your own radio station. You can visit lesqueakradio.com and listen to them. And you can also visit touringplans.com for your touring plans for Walt Disney World. They are three main sponsors, so it's great to have them on board. But anyway, we wanted to talk to you a little bit for this Mouse Meets about meets themselves. Obviously, we're still a good 6 months off from Mouse Meets, but we want to get people to start thinking about, well, what sort of things can they organise and bring to the event? What meets can they organise for the event? And we wanted to give you some ideas of some of the meets we're organising, so you've got some idea of the sort of things we're looking for. Well, obviously, you already know about one of the first meets that Disney has helped us to organise, which is our meal with the Imagineer over at Walt's American Restaurant over on Main Street. But we've also organised some of our own meets as well. And I'm going to give away sort of three that I'm currently organising. So you've got... Then none of them are food related. I'll leave that to Jules. But firstly, one of the events that I'm currently organising, I've been researching for some time now, is a walking tour / group ride of Phantom Manor. It's designed that we're going to have a bit of a walking tour around the outside of Phantom Manor, look at some of the things that might not necessarily be obvious, some of the things that help to tell the story of Phantom Manor. We'll then have a bit of a group ride, maybe a bit of a quiz as well. And then there's going to be sort of a tour of Boot Hill around the back of Phantom Manor. And that's going to probably take, I don't know, maybe an hour or so, just looking at some of the interesting rides and the interesting elements of the ride and things like that.
Can I just say
yeah,
that... You did a little run through this with
me, yeah.
When we went out. And while I took the Mickey and kept falling asleep on you, can I just say that there's so many things that Adam knows about this that I hadn't even seen at all, without getting his head big here. It was really interesting, especially, and I'm not going to say anything here, but when we went outside, things that I didn't even knew existed. I found them really interesting, but at the time I pretended like I wasn't interested.
Yes, we had some few snoring noises, didn't we?
We did, but no, there's some really... I don't think there's anyone who's going to go through with you who will know everything that you sort of came up with. That's the only time I'm going to give you a compliment.
Right, thanks, that's it. But, you know, we will take some time just to look through all of those things there. So that's going to be one of my meets. And it could be that you know a lot about another ride, say, example, I don't know, Pirates of the Caribbean, or It's a Small World, or Peter Pan, or something like that, that you want to do a walking tour of in a group ride. And you can include that as part of the itinerary for the sort of couple of days that are going on. The second one we're going to do is going to be the second annual Disney Brit Buzz Lightyear Laser Blast competition. Although it's going to be in the same year as the first annual one, we'll skip that for now. But we thought that we could create this as an event, a meet as part of Mouse Meets this year. And basically, it's going to be that everybody will queue up for the ride, we'll all go on together, and then the person with the highest score at the end will win a prize, or will get the accolade of being champion. Of course, you've got to beat me, because I am currently the champion, and I shall not be beaten. Although I probably will be beaten this time. There's probably someone who knows much more about it than I do. And we'll have a bit of a competition, really, between the people who want to come and join in with that meet.
I'll have my revenge.
Yeah, okay. You're going to have your revenge this time, see if you can beat me. It's all right. It'll be one all then, so that's fine. And the third one we're going to have, of course, on each show we bring you the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz. So we're going to have a Disney Brit Trivia Quiz meet, and we're going to have sort of a live version of the Disney Brit Trivia Quiz, where we're going to have some prizes to give out. The prizes we're currently in the process of creating at the moment, aren't we? I'm not going to say any more than that at the moment, other than we have a little project that we're currently working on, which... I think we'll constitute the prizes for that particular meet. Would that be right in saying that?
Yes. I assume, is it food related?
Is it
scrambled egg on a burger?
It's not scrambled egg on a burger. When we bring you our Walt's American Restaurant review, you'll understand exactly why George is saying that. It's not scrambled egg and a burger.
It's going to be an awesome buy, is it?
It's going to be a great price, hopefully.
It is.
Certainly, we've been working really, really hard on this, and we'll bring some more. Well, yes, and me.
Occasionally. A bit.
No, it's a project we've been working on that we're going to hopefully include as part of Mouse Meets. So there's sort of three things that we've come up with already, and obviously we have that meal with an Imagineer. We want you guys to start to think about, you know, what can you bring? So it could be that it's just a meet to watch the parade. Maybe it's a meet somewhere in particular to have something to eat. Maybe the Cafe Hyperion. Maybe it's Buzz Lightyear's Pizza Planet or somewhere like that. Maybe it's just the 10-15 minute meet to sit down and watch some Mickey Mouse cartoons in Cinema Mickey. It can be anything from as grand as you want to as small as you want. I look at some of the things that happened at Mouse Fest. Somebody had a rocking chair meet where in the Magic Kingdom there's just an area with rocking chairs, and all they did was sat in them and just had a chat. It could be something as simple as that. It doesn't have to be anything complicated at all. But we really want you guys to include some of your ideas as well as our own. And I know you've got some you're thinking of as well, aren't you, Jez?
I have, yeah. It was a couple of things I'm sort of pondering at the moment. One that might be obvious from the photograph we had taken on one of the rides when we were the only ones not paying attention in the whole ride.
If you have seen Facebook, our friends with us over on Facebook, you will see there's a photo of us on Pirates of the Caribbean, of which everybody else is enjoying the drop, and you've got us two sat backwards looking at the ride system as we go down the drop, which I thought was just really quite amusing ride photo. I think it's the best ride photo I've ever been in. That's might have some idea of something that Juz might be organising as well. Mm-hmm. But we will let you know in the future how you can register your meets for the event. We'll also have sort of set criteria, things that you know you need to include or things you shouldn't do, i.e. Don't have a run through the park naked meet. That's not going to be counted. Things that you know we'll allow and things that we won't. But do, I say, have a good think about the ideas that you have already, and we'll come back to that in a future edition of the Mouse Meets update.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there we go. That is Mouse Meets for now, and we'll bring you some more information when we've got it. Rounds up another edition of the Disney Brit Podcast. Thank you once again for joining us. We'd like to thank our sponsors, Attraction Tickets Direct and Complete Orlando. You can visit them at www.attraction-tickets-direct.co.uk and completeorlando.co.uk. Once again, thanks to Juz for joining me for this podcast, bringing his tips and all of his words of wisdom. Of course, make sure you check out still the photos of our recent trip over at Disney Paris on Facebook. They are still there. And the video diary from our trip is on our homepage at disneybrit.com. A huge thank you once again to Trent Vance and everyone over at Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show for allowing me to visit them backstage, and I thoroughly did have a fantastic, fantastic time. So thank you to them. Don't forget to email us your comments, questions and suggestions, especially as we have our listener email show coming up next on the next episode. So please do email all of your ideas, questions, comments, everything. We really, really do appreciate all of those ideas. Don't forget to come over to Twitter. You can sign up at our Twitter for Disney Brit and Mouse Meets, where we do update them whenever we've got something interesting to say. We, of course, have our forum over at wdisneyw.com/forums. If you go to the World of Disney section, you will find a Disney Brit section in there. And we, of course, have our final top 7 poll that is going on at the moment. So please visit the website and do make sure you vote for our top 7. We're going to be bringing you the results of those in the next show. Thank you to those people who have left reviews over on iTunes. Please do continue to do that. They are really greatly appreciated. People do read them, do look at them, and decide whether they want to listen to the show or not. So they are a real great help. I've already mentioned our website at disneybrit.com. Please do go over there, have a look, see the things that we put on there, especially our video diary that's over there at the moment. And of course, you can go and still sign up for Mouse Meets. The Mouse Meets sign-up page is disneybrit.com/mousemeets.asp. You can go and sign up there. You'll get our newsletter and all of the different bits and pieces, especially if you're thinking about coming and you've got those meets ideas, as we talked about in our Mouse Meets update. You can come over and friend us up on Facebook. You've got me and Juz over there. You've also got the Disney Brit Podcast page, and you've also got the Mouse Meets page that you can come over and join in with. Of course, make sure that you, when you're over there, you put a nice comment and we can talk to you over there. It'd be great, because we do have a little sort of conversations with many of our listeners over on Facebook. Thank you once again to those people who have donated. Massive thank you to Joe Carter, who gave us a great donation over the past few weeks. Really does help with sort of the running costs of the podcast. And don't forget that the next edition of the Disney Brit Podcast, episode 16, will be available on the 27th of May. Well, that's pretty much it from me over here. So until episode 16, see ya.